Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, hey, everyone, it's great to have you with us today. We are off and running for a brand new year. And I tell you, through all the sermons, there has been a great sense of expectancy that this isn't going to be a year for you of survival, of in the grind, but it's going to be a year of blessing, a year of breakthrough, a year of favor. My prayer and hope, our prayer, is that this will be a great year of growth and harvest for you. But hey, today's word, I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 43. And my hope today is that this message would lift your spirit, lift your heart, continue to fill your soul with huge courage that God is up to something great. Even if you can't see it, even if you can't feel it, you can still be a person of faith, because great things, not just because of wishful thinking, not just because you a person or a bank or a circumstance is okay, but because it's God's plan, great things are coming your way in Jesus' name. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says this: forget the former things. I kind of find sometimes I forget the things I should remember and remember the things I should forget. And this is loud and clear: forget the former things, those old things, the past things, as good or as bad or as toxic or as great as they were. God's word is, if they are old, if they are meant to be in your past, let them go. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on them. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The question isn't, is God doing a good thing? The question isn't, is God doing a new thing? The question isn't, is God up to something fresh and new and creative? That's not the question. It is the nature of God to do new things. It is the nature of God, the promise of God, to do fresh things, to continue to pour out His promise, pour out His purpose, pour out dreams and destiny, to lead you into great things, to lead you into blessing, to lead you into harvest. The question that we should be asking our soul isn't, is God up to something? The question we should be asking ourselves is, am I seeing it? Am I positioned in a way? Is my posture in a way? Is my perspective in a way? Is my lifestyle in a way where I am not missing the thing that God is doing? This word says, forget the former things, let go of the former things. They're, you know, even if they were the good old days, they were meant to be now in your old days, in your past. Let them go, because God's got greater days for you. And it says, don't dwell on the past. Don't live there. You know, you talk to some people and it's 2023 and they are talking about 2022 or, worst case scenario, 1975. You talk to some people and they are not living in today. Their head isn't in today. Their heart isn't in today. Their speech isn't in today. Their fashion isn't in today. Their hairstyle isn't in today. Their dreams aren't in today. Their dreams are dwelling in the past. They haven't moved. They haven't uprooted. They haven't up-anchored. They haven't moved from where they were. And they are, if you like, stuck. You know, this word dwell that we read in Isaiah, it comes from a word that means understand and give thought to and be familiar with. What God's saying is, don't be familiar with your past. Be familiar with where you're going. Don't be a person who stares in your rearview mirror and dwells and give thought to and heart to and emotion to and money to and relationships to and thought and heart space to the past. Give your whole heart to the new thing that God's doing, the future that God has, the great things that God has. And so when we talk about dwelling, talk about where do you put your anchor down? You know, the word teaches us in Hebrews that this promise that God has for us, which is future related, the promise He has for you is not for your past, it's for your future. Hebrews teaches us that this promise is an anchor for our souls. Right there, we're taught where to drop our anchor. Do you drop your anchor in the promise in the future, in where you're going, in your destiny, in your dreams. God says, let your anchor be there. Some people, it says, remember the former things that have dropped their anchor in the old, dropped their anchor in where they were, what they went through, what was said to them, what they had, the platform they had, the space they had, the job they had, the marriage or relationship they had, the money they had. And as good or as bad as those things are, I tell you, God wants you today to lift up your anchor and put it in your future. I think everyone has past moments, maybe past seasons, that if you really give too much heart to, it can actually become an overwhelming source of regret. I wish I had, I could have, I should have. If I had my time over, I would have. No one's immune from regrets. But Proverbs says, don't die on a bed of regrets. I tell you, everyone's got something you could be regretful for, but because of Jesus, we're all washed. We can all be washed whiter than snow, where even Jesus doesn't remember what happened, because he forgives us, sanctifies us, redeems us, giving a fresh start. So if Jesus isn't making a bed of regrets from you where your anchor's in the past, hey, don't you. Put down your anchor in your future. Don't dwell in the past, dwell in your destiny. Don't put your anchor down in what was or what could have been or what should have been. Put your anchor down in what God says will happen, where God's taking you, the destiny that he has for you, the streams in your future, the streams in the wasteland, the ways in the wilderness. God has great things in store for you. And so I want to talk to you today, four quick thoughts about what we can do in life to put our anchor down in our past versus putting our anchor down in our future. And I think these four things really are powerful and help deciding where you put your anchor down as a person of faith or as a person of the past. Number one is your speech. Everyone say speech. You know, the concept of speech, it's incredibly, I think, underestimated how powerful it is. It's been said that your language locates you. In other words, you could sit with someone, have a conversation, a coffee with someone, and very soon, you can actually start to pick up on where they live. If they're talking about what's possible, or they're talking about where they're going, or they're talking about what could be, or they're talking about where God's taking them, or they're talking about possibilities and opportunity and a great sense, I guess, of optimism and hope and faith and joy and peace, you can say, hey, that you've located them. Oh, your anchor's down in your future. Versus people who just out of their language and out of even their tone and their spirit comes at talking about what was and what they had and the opportunities they had and what they did. And those things are great, but they're not shared in a way of testimony that points to the future. They're kind of painted as used as a sense of memory that they gravitate to and celebrate around. Your language locates you. Now, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. In other words, what you say, what you declare, whether it's on purpose or whether it's not on purpose, what you and I say creates. It's been said this way, what a person says about themselves, they're right. The words that you and I say about ourselves, we're right. If I speak in a way that speaks about my past, I'll be anchored to my past. But if I speak about my future, about the great things that God is doing, about the great promises that God has for my marriage, my daughter, my job, my career, my church, my health, my money, my future, I tell you, all of a sudden, I'm anchored to that. Think about the words you've said today. Think about the pictures you've painted with your language today, this week, this year. And I think it would be very sobering. It can be very sobering to say, hey, I think I need to change where I'm anchoring, start anchoring myself in my future. Stop talking about your past. Stop talking from your past. Stop talking about your future. And even before you've seen it, by faith, you can anchor yourself in your future in Jesus' name. Number one is your speech. Number two is your meditation. I used to think when I was a young Christian that, oh, meditation is kind of a new agey thing. It's a self-made thing. I've come to understand that meditation is an amazing principle. The concept of sila, the concept of rest and focus your mind, is an absolutely profound and kingdom design thing. It's simply, where do you focus your meditation? You know, stress, anxiety, and fear, it is simply unhealthy and wrong-directed, wrong-focused meditation. When you or I, and I'm guilty of this at times, lie in bed at night, stewing, going over, repeating circumstances, going down that rabbit hole of thinking about, weighing things up, pros and cons, doing the list, calculations, and getting to a sense of a downward spiral, it's unhealthy, fearful, unfocused. And to be honest, we've given over responsibility of our thoughts as a wrong meditation. But when we start to reflect on the goodness of God, the greatness of God, what He can do, what He is doing, and we start to rest in who God is and give Him the control, all of a sudden our meditation is in the right place and will bring about great, great fruit in our souls. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." I tell you, anxiety, worry, and fear, wrong meditation, I think that paints the picture. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but look at this, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That you can have your peace, that you can set your meditation on the right things. I love David in the Psalms, who is an incredibly explosive, passionate, emotional man. God didn't dismiss his personality makeup, his vulnerability, his authenticity, his mess. God taught him where to put his mess. God taught him to sila, pause, and think on these things. David, you're freaking out? Pause and think on these things. David, you're angry? Pause and think on these things. David, you're vengeful? Pause and think on these things. David, you're depressed? Pause and think on these things. I tell you, Jesus doesn't dismiss what you're feeling, but rather He gives you the tools to lead your feelings. And I would say to you, don't let your personality or circumstance ever be an excuse for wrong meditation. But you've been given the power of a sound mind. You've been given God's great tool of directing your soul towards peace. Number three, the third thing that can help decide and define where we anchor ourselves in the past or the future is our money, is the blessing and the money that we've been given. Where do you spend your money? We all spend our money on kind of those overhead things, food, accommodation, social things, our family or kids' education. We've got the list of things that we kind of all do. We look at those things, and maybe then, more importantly, you look at the extra things, and our budgets and bank account transactions clearly define our priorities. If you were to go through, if I today was to log into internet banking and hold it up for you to see, I probably can think of a few things that I'd get a little bit embarrassed about, or kind of think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have spent those dollars in that space because they're not really taking me forward. There are some things that are just to bless, just to refresh, just to enjoy. That's absolutely okay. But I want to make sure that the things in my life, the resource I've been given, aren't spending in a way that just continues what I've had, but are sowing into something fresh and new. You know, last year we spoke about the year of seed, and it was speaking about, where do you sow your money? Where do you sow your blessing? If you sow in a way, you will reap in that way. What you sow, you will reap. Are you sowing your money into the areas that you've had or having? You will reap in that same way. Or are you sowing in faith? Lord, I'm sowing into my future. I'm sowing into relationships or into investments, into my church, into my destiny, into my business, into my future. God, I'm sowing into my future. I tell you, then when you look at your bank balance, your bank transactions, you can see, oh, this is a person of faith. No, this is a person anchoring themselves in their future, not a person who's anchoring themselves into what they have now or what they've had in the past. I tell you, it's very sobering. And the Word teaches us that we've got incredible power with the money that we have. And so my encouragement to you is to actually do, I guess, a bit of an audit, a bit of a reflection. Where do you spend your money? Are you sowing seed for your future or sowing seed to repeat your past? Lastly, the fourth thing is, what can we do to anchor ourselves in our past or our future? Is our time. Does your schedule allow for new things? Does your schedule just reinforce the old? Are you preoccupied? Man, I hate those days when I get to the end of the day, I walk in the door at home and I think, man, the last 8-10 hours have just been about getting through the million meetings or just getting through the bunch of jobs I've had to do. And I realized that things have decided how I sow my time, not my heart, not my promise decided where I sow my time. Are you too preoccupied? Are you too busy for anything new? If God is doing a new thing, does it have room to breathe? Does it have a chance to inconvenience you? Does it have a chance to get some attention in your day? Is there 5 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour where something new can happen? It's not an issue of, is God doing something new in your life today or tomorrow? The question is, we read in Isaiah, are we going to perceive it or are we going to be too busy to pick up on it? Ecclesiastes says that everything is made beautiful in its proper time. The old does not have any God-given appointments in your day today. Think about it. God only has appointments in your day for the new. So have we filled up our appointments today? Have we filled up our calendar today with what should be there? Things that God has orchestrated and God has beautiful proper times for? Or have I filled up my day giving appointment times to things that should never get any space? Just food for thought. I think it's a great sobering reflection to have. Where am I spending my time? Where are you spending your time? God is doing new things. And so as we head into this year, I encourage you and urge you, remind you, God's doing great things. Isaiah 43 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And all of this, I want to remind you and encourage you, it all comes from Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to give us new beginnings. There has not been one person in history who has had faith in Jesus and not got a new start. Even the most toxic, sinful, messed up, destructive person, when they have had faith in Jesus, even those people who you would say clearly they've got a dead end, each one of them have had a brand new beginning in Jesus. I'm so glad that I got a relationship with Jesus and He gave me a fresh start. Think about your life, your sin, your mess, your private battles, maybe your public failings, whatever you're bringing to the cross. I want to tell you and remind you that in Jesus, it is a new beginning. You can, through asking Him for forgiveness, forget the former things. You can, through asking Him for forgiveness, see the new thing. You can have a BC to AD experience. You can have a fresh new start, not because of me, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has done. I want to pray for you today. Lord, I thank you for those who for the first time or again are putting their hand up and saying, Lord, I need you to give me my fresh start. I need your forgiveness of my sin. I need your healing of my mess. And I, Lord, today need you to draw a line in the sand and help me never to go back, but because of your grace, I can go forward. I thank you for your blessing and peace and purpose and above all forgiveness in their hearts and lives in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. For us all, let's forget the former things. No matter whether it's 2022 or whether it's 1975, none of it belongs in 2023. God's got great things, great things, great things for you. Grab a hold of it and anchor yourself firmly in your future in Jesus' name. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.